we stand in body or in spirit?
Stare into the mirror of God's law. Let your sins be revealed.
We are guilty. We deserve condemnation.
Repent. Pray for mercy. Return to the Lord with all your heart.
We will repent our hearts.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not that tune, but I don't know what that tune number is, so go ahead and play that. No, I think you're playing the right, you're playing the right one. What? Oh, the hymnal's wrong? Anyway, keep playing what you're playing. Oh, wait, hold on. Nope, it's 611. You're playing 611, right?
It's written 611 on here.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Just yodel.
Here. I heard the voice of Jesus say. Oh, 611? Oh, 611. Yeah, go play 611, Adam. That one. We have a brief technical difficulties here this morning. Please bear with us. We apologize.
Take two.
I need to Jesus as a
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide us now so that by following your Son, we may walk safely through the wilderness of this world toward the life you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 91 responsively with me. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty,
will say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust."
Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place,
no evil shall befall you.
For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample underfoot.
Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name.
When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them.
With all my heart, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
The second reading is from Romans, the 10th chapter. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today we find Jesus being tested in the wilderness, which is how we know that Lent has begun. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil had finished every test. He departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. I have to confer with Adam over here. I have a last minute change to make. Man, I might give two sermons today. I thought of a second sermon while I was reading that again for like the 12th time this week. Nah, we'll stick to the one I already wrote. Unlike the one that one time I actually liked it this morning. Anyway, question for y'all. Who is the absolute worst interpreter of Scripture of all time? Fair. I'll kind of get there. Who is the worst? Not, don't say me. Who is the worst? We heard him. Thank you. We heard him interpret Scripture today. It's the devil. And if you don't think that the devil knows Scripture, what else is the devil doing here during at the end of these 40 days and interpreting Scripture itself to put Jesus to the test? My absolute favorite, My absolute favorite is when the devil tries to seek his pesky God-made flesh problem, you know, this Jesus being on earth problem, by ending Jesus' ministry right then and there. You see, with that final test, he's saying, Jesus, if you just throw yourself down, the angels will bear you up. Now, there's two options right here. One is Jesus believes him and he does it, thereby failing the test. The other option, maybe, you know, God does use the angels to bear Jesus up. The other option is Jesus does it, right? Jesus jumps. God doesn't send the angels to bear him up, and somewhere between up there and splat, you know, you get it. It ends badly for Jesus either way, and the devil wins. But Jesus didn't fall into temptation. The devil is intentionally and dangerously misinterpreting Scripture, misinterpreting a portion of Psalm 91. He is using it to test Jesus, hoping that maybe, just maybe, Jesus will make this misinformed leap of faith. You see, Psalm 91, when we interpret it poorly, as Mike said, you know, we are bad interpreters of Scripture. Yeah, we can be sometimes. When we interpret it poorly, when we use it as a litmus test for God's love for us, is and can be a very dangerous psalm. Read literally, we hear these words, right? These words of God's protection, that we can tread on the lion. Okay. I feel like, well, maybe for some of you I have to say this, but for most of you, I feel like I shouldn't have to say this. Don't go pick a fight with a lion, please. Okay? It is going to end very, very poorly for you. Also, if you come across an adder, a viper, any other brand of poisonous snake, you know what you do? You just walk away. And if it's in your house, call an exterminator. Don't mess with the snake. Don't try to tread on it. Because when you get bit and you're in the emergency room and they say, well, Psalm 91 said I could tread on that adder, they'll look at you and be like, you, sir, are an idiot. Don't do it. These are literal interpretations that are very dangerous of Psalm 91. But there are some other very dangerous interpretations that can harm our faith. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, it says. The Most High your dwelling place, it says. Here's the dangerous part. Then no evil shall befall you. And we add the words ever, as in ever, ever, ever. So because I've made the Lord my refuge, because I have faith in the Most High God, that the Most High God is my dwelling place, no evil on me ever. So, this works fine, right? When everything is going just awesome in our lives, when we have a good job, when we have great health, when we have that perfect family and they're all healthy, when we have safety in our lives, when there's prosperity, when everything is just oh so right with the world. And this is all happening to us and for us because we have faith in our God. Because we've given ourselves over to the Lord as our refuge. God will not let anything bad happen to us in this oh so very faithful place. Because it is your faithfulness. You all did it, right? It is your faithfulness that God in God that has allowed you to prosper, right? Yes? Yeah, of course. You know, that prosperity gospel, that's an awful seductive gospel, isn't it? But what happens when things go bad? I mean, I'm sure none of that's ever happened to you, right? None of you have ever lost your job or your savings. None of you have ever lost any kind of your own good health. You've never had a loved one who's lost their health. You've never had seen your husband or wife or child or niece or nephew or brother or sister suffer with their health. You've never prayed for your health or their health to return. You've never fervently asked everyone you know to pray for your loved one. You've never done that, right? And still, even though you've made the Lord your refuge, the doctor walks into that room and said, there is nothing else we can do. And here is where a very devilish interpretation of Scripture, including portions of Psalm 91, can be and have been used to trample upon those whose faith at that moment is already weakened by the horrific circumstances that they find themselves in. I have heard of people being told in these circumstances, well, obviously your faith was not strong enough. The Lord obviously must not have been your refuge. Or that terrible thing that just happened to that one that you love wouldn't have happened. We blame them. Or worse yet, maybe they blame themselves because they didn't pray hard enough or their faith wasn't strong enough. So now, not only has that awful thing happened, instead of comfort they hear from the outside or from the inside, you have not made the Lord your refuge. You're the reason that your loved one will no longer be with you. Make no mistake about it, the devil can and does use Scripture against us, hoping to damage, or better yet, hoping to destroy our faith, hoping to separate us from God, because that's the point. That's always the devil's point. That's what the devil was doing to Jesus there at the end of these 40 days, trying to separate Jesus from God. And if you're a bit nervous right now saying, well, hi, I've asked some of those questions, you know, like why would God let this horrible, terrible thing happen to me? I've shaken my fist at God. Or that question, why does God let bad things happen to good people? I've asked that question. Am I now somehow misinterpreting Scripture and succumbing to the devil's lies? Are you? No, I don't think you are. When we hear Psalm 91 and we think, you know, I like that idea of God always being my refuge and never allowing me to be dashed against a stone, but that's not always my experience. Are we questioning God? I mean, yes, I think we are questioning God, and I do think they are fair questions. I don't think that these are evil, unfaithful thoughts and questions at all. Just the opposite. These are the thoughts and questions of a tested, sturdy, and resilient faith. You are all here because, well, some of you are here because your dad made you come to church. But the rest of you are all here because in some way, you have found in the Lord a refuge. I will say it again. You are all here because in some way you have found in the Lord a refuge. Despite having dashed your foot against the stone more times than you can count. You know what it's like to have had the ravenous lions of this world chew you up and spit you out. You know what it's like to have had the adder plunge its fangs into you, to inject its poison into you, to leave you for dead. And I will add, that is why I said to walk away from the adder no matter what the psalm said. Just walk away. As if we actually can walk away from the adder, because the adder will find us. And yet somehow, because of your faith, your resilient faith, and it is a faith given to us by the Holy Spirit, it is the same Holy Spirit that entered Jesus in the wilderness. Because of this God-given faith, you are here. Despite at times having your entire lives, not just your foot, but your entire lives dashed against the stone. Having been thrown from the pinnacle of some high place and smashed onto the ground, shattered, destroyed. And yet, somehow, amazingly, you are here. When we are in the lowest of low times, Psalm 91 almost sounds like a lie. God's lie, not the devil's lie. Particularly, I think, at the death of a loved one. Why then? Why then do we choose this song? This song. Why do we sing this song, psalm, at so many funerals? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this psalm has been turned into on eagle's wings. Why do we sing that psalm at funerals? It's bizarre. Why do we find comfort in this psalm and this hymn when this refrain that the devil uses to test Jesus is there? For to the angels God's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. But at a funeral of all places, at the death of a loved one at all places, our feet have been dashed, our lives have been dashed. Why, oh why, do we pick this psalm? And I don't know. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. There's just something about that space, something about that place of a funeral. In the words of a psalm, in this hymn, in the music, in everyone who is gathered there when they are singing, in and through these tears that we share, in the gathering of the friends and the loved ones of that space, in the meal afterwards where everyone gathers and shares these stories, somehow we perceive in those moments, in that moment, that the devil has been lying to us. And the devil's lies are right then and there exposed. And we feel the angel bearing us up. We know that God is not absent in all of this, even though we feel like God might be absent in all this. But we know in our heart of hearts that God is not absent. This is when, in my experience at least, we fully recognize, we most fully recognize and feel and know God's love and presence in our lives. Verse 15, which I'm not sure made it into the hymn, it says, when they call me, I will answer them, says God. I will be with them in their trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. It implies, it tells us that there will be trouble. I will be with them in trouble. It says there will be trouble. In a broken and sinful creation filled with broken and sinful people like us, there is no escape from trouble and suffering and pain. We know this. Our lives, our experiences, our faith tells us this. And any promise to the contrary, whether by you or through the devil, it is a lie. You hear someone telling you that is the promise, it is a lie, and it is opposed to God's promise. God says, there will be trouble, but in that trouble, when you call on me, I will answer you. That is the promise. I will be there when you are in trouble. I will rescue you. In fact, I already have rescued you. Even as Jesus was in the most vulnerable of circumstances, right? He is famished. He is at the end of these 40 days. He has not eaten. Even at the end of these 40 days, he is exhausted. He is famished. He is in a desperate need of a hot shower. And I don't even think those things existed then. But he did not succumb to the devil's lies. He did not. In a preview of what is to come, a wounded but resolute devil, he just runs off. He says, I guess I'm not going to win this round, Jesus. But we're told he will return at an opportune time, which means that no, the devil has not yet fully been destroyed. We know this. We feel this in our lives. We are tested all the time. The devil is still feeding us lies, still feeding you lies. But in Jesus shouting, "I am done with you and your tests," he saved us right then and there from the devil's lies. Because Christ's victory is our victory. I'll say it again. Christ's victory is our victory. It is a victory that is not yet fully complete, but it is a victory that is assured. The victory is not complete, but Christ's victory is assured. And by the way, Christ's victory is our victory. So I think at the end of it, this is why Psalm 91 on eagle's wings, when we sing it at a funeral, when we sing it, when we are on the top of the highest of the pinnacles of the temple, or when we are at the lowest of lows, when we are dashed and shattered and overwhelmed and destroyed, this is why these words, God's promises, bear us up on the wings of eagles, as on the wings of angels. Because our faith, given to us by the Holy Spirit, knows them to be true. Amen. Amen. 787 is on Eagle's Wings. It is a change from your bulletin. And hey, he managed to get it up there. Thank you, Jeff.
Save to the Lord my refuge.
we believe, using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Is there any additional prayers for our intercessory prayers this morning? Let us pray.
Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, for the world, and for all those in need.
Gracious God, speak your word anew among your church. Strengthen us to withstand the temptation to turn inward in fear and complacency. Embolden the ELCA, the Northwestern Ohio Synod, First Lutheran Church, and all church institutions to turn from self-preservation toward the self-giving love of Jesus. God, in your mercy.
Loving God, speak gently to all who are alone. Bless lay ministers, congregational care teams, and others who attend to those who are overlooked, the vulnerable, the lonely, that all find belonging in your love. We pray for the ill, especially Ashley, Jean, Kevin, David, Barb, Jennifer, Beth, Nancy, Krista, Diane, Dave, AJ, Fred, Caden and his family, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Ed, Tina, Ken, Bobby, Nancy, Jim. And for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. Steadfast God, speak words of courage to your people in the wilderness, those who have lost loved ones and friends, jobs and livelihoods, homes and businesses. Protect the unhoused, refugees, and those embroiled in war, especially in the Ukraine and Russia and the Middle East, that they find safe refuge and a portion in the bounty you have given humanity to share. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. Eternal God, thank you for the saints who have gone before us. We lift either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Christ's victory is our victory. We look to the day when we, too, shall share that victory. God, in your mercy,
receive
the prayers of all your people and draw all things together in love in the name of Jesus, who leads us from death into life. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
Oh, look at you, Lynn. tricked me. I thought it was something way better than that.
Gracious Provider, you have set your immense treasures among us, opening your heart to the world. As we prepare to feast on your bountiful love, deepen our commitment to sharing those treasures with others. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant of my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
During these 40 days, Jesus sustains us with his very own self. So come, eat, drink, and receive God's forgiveness. Where are you going?
of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
This is not yet the body of Christ. Anyway, you are a beloved child.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Pray with me. Generous host, you have shared your feast with us and made us new. Send us now to set tables of love and grace in our communities, that your liberating love might nurture the world into freedom. In the name of the crucified one, Jesus Christ our Lord, all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Hi. Welcome. Wednesday, we have a fellowship meal at 6 p.m., followed by a Lenten service at 7 p.m. We will be talking about the Living Catechism. It's not exactly the same catechism you all grew up with, but it's, you know, I don't know, it's living. We'll see how it goes. Still got to look into it. On Tuesday, because as a Lutheran, apparently during Lent, you don't, you know, curb the eating. You just do more of it, or about the same. We have a meal Tuesday at noon here at First. Please come join us for that. Let's see. Any other announcements this morning? Yes, ma'am.
We have a sign-up sheet.
Oh,
and there's
okay.
A sign-up sheet out there for that, too. If you can help, we greatly appreciate it.
So two sign-up sheets, one for this week's meal, this Tuesday's meal. Maybe you can help provide some of the food for that. And then next week, we are feeding the city workers, police, fire, whatnot. So take a look at that one if you can provide any food for that as well. Like I said, we don't do less eating during Lent. We do more. So, anyway, big thank you to Jeff and Adam for rolling with it today on my changes, but I felt like the sermon hymn was a little more appropriate given the sermon. Yes, Dennis?
You did not mention console.
Well, I was hoping everyone would forget and we wouldn't have it. No, we have... Yes, Dennis is reminding me we have council. We have council at 7. Prior to that, we have committee meetings and all of that. So starting at 5:30, where we will, what will we do? Eat. any other announcements? Please stand for a blessing. As you are able to do so. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Grace.
Believe with the heart and confess the wonder of God's love in Jesus Christ.
We will. Thanks be to God.